It'd been nice for all of us to be up here with Gary to hear that singing. You ever think about what it's going to be like when all the redeemed are gathered together and singing the glories of God? Been at a few conferences where there are a lot of voices, and you've never heard anything like it. The loudness and the tuning of the songs today to try to get folks' attention won't be anything comparable to the glory of those times together with the Lord singing. We'd like to, those of us, the saints at Clifton Bible Chapel, would like to welcome all of you. We're glad to have the folks that have traveled so far. I see several faces that I'd like to introduce personally, but we won't take the time for that now. We're just grateful to the Lord for the folks that have come together and the folks here at the assembly that have been together and are continuing together today. When they asked me to take a moment and welcome you and introduce the conference, just since then, two portions of Scripture have been on my mind. One's in Ephesians 1. I don't want to comment on it. I'd like to read it if you'd turn to Ephesians 1. The other that I was thinking about is in Acts. And it says, they continuing daily with one accord. One of the values of today is the extended time in the Word of God. It seems like today we really expect the minimum from believers. And to get together even once a week seems to be cumbersome. Twice a week, almost impossible. But the early saints continued together daily. And the thought that I've been having is the value of being together basically for a day in the Word of God and the impact it can have in our lives should be a great blessing to each of us and have continuing effect. So, welcome. We're glad to have you here. And with that, let's read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice together in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the things that flow from that, the joy of knowing one another, the process of maturing and you working in our lives, bringing us into a mature walk. And we know that sometimes it hurts. The stretching and conforming that you would have us do costs. And we often avoid these costs, Lord, and seemingly you allow that. But I want to thank you, Father, for those that have set aside this day for an extended time in thy word. And we realize that this is where the help for the Christian life lies. That in searching the Word of God and in knowing thy Word, we can know your will and desire for us. So help us, Lord, to be good students today as well. We want to be hearers of thy Word. We want today to have an effect in our lives. We want it to be more than just a day that we came together to a conference. We're hoping that it will have lasting value. And maybe even some of the things that have hindered our walk in the past might be cleared up. And that we might better serve thee, Lord, and walk with thee in the days of our lives that we have left. We long for the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to thee for that, O God, in your time. And we hope to live to thy glory in the days that we have remaining here. Now we'd ask you, Father, for a blessing upon those that are going to be laboring today and taking part. We know that they're reaching far back into their lives. To use that, the resource that you have given them, and that it hasn't come easily, but it's come by walking with thee. And we give thee thanks for that. We pray for each one, the speakers and those that are helping and those that have interviews and announcements, the missionary that's here, Mr. Presson, we trust thee, Father, to give them words of wisdom and comfort to the saints and help. These things we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Sam Robinson will take a moment and introduce things further. Here he is here.
On behalf of Christian Missions in Many Lands, or CMML as we're commonly referred to, we're very delighted to be here. I'm sure I speak for the speakers as well as the directors of CMML that are here. It's really a pleasure and an honor to be here today. I was amused at Gary referring to the hills to the east. Those are pretty big hills, but then everything is big out here. But, you know, last night we were very pleased to hear the announcement of the births of the two little girls. We heard last night that there were two births that were very imminent, and we rejoice that the safe arrival. You know, the psalmist reminds us that children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And, of course, I'm very partial to girls, having three daughters and a granddaughter, so there's nothing like having little girls. So we wish God's blessing not only on the babies, but on the parents as well, and trust that in the Lord's will, they might be reached and saved and used mightily for his honor and glory if the Lord tarries. Now, in June of this year, it will be 170 years ago, the first missionary went out from an assembly in England to the mission field to Baghdad. Anthony Norris Groves was the first missionary commended from an assembly. And he went out through Russia, out to Baghdad, and then later on to India. And from that point of time until now, it started as a trickle, but then a flood. And so that since that time, in 170 years, there's been over 5,000 men and women commended from the assemblies that have gone literally into all the world to preach the gospel, and they have turned the world upside down. The missionaries commended from the assemblies, looking to the Lord alone for direction, looking to the Lord alone for support, have accomplished far more than natural man would expect, considering the number of the assemblies that they came from. They've grown out of all proportion. The work has grown out of all proportion to the assemblies that they were commended from and the workers themselves. Some of the largest assemblies today are in the third world. And even now there are over 1,500 men and women commended from the assembly still out on the mission field. And in the 1989 Missionary Prayer Handbook, which there's copies on the table in the back if you'd want to purchase one, there are from the United States and Canada 704 commended workers. And that is a record that you can all be proud of. Because it's hard to estimate the population of the assemblies. But the closest estimate that we have heard that seems fairly reasonable is that in the United States and Canada, there are anywhere from 65 to 70,000 Christians in assembly fellowship in the United States and Canada. That means that 1% of the assembly population is engaged in missionary work. And there's no other group can match that. The only ones that can come anywhere near that is the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And 1/2 of 1% of their members are engaged in missionary activity. So it's something that we can be justly proud of. Now, CMML, or Christian Missions in Many Lands, we are a missionary service agency. And we like to emphasize that word service. We do not send missionaries, we do not support missionaries, and we do not superintend missionaries. We serve missionaries commended from the assemblies and, of course, the assemblies themselves. Now, for the past 17 years, we have had conferences in the New Jersey area to provide ministry and to challenge, encourage, and strengthen the Lord's people. And many of the visitors to our area and to these conferences have suggested that we hold similar conferences in other areas. And that's why we're here. Our aim and purpose is to stimulate interest in evangelism in general and missions in particular. We pray that through these regional conferences, the Lord's people will be built up and bound up and stirred up. And we're sincerely grateful to the assembly here in Clifton Bible Chapel for their exercise and their help and encouragement in making this conference possible. We're thankful, too, for their very kind and gracious hospitality. Now, the theme of our conference today is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the theme verse is found in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, the cross of Jesus Christ held a unique and supreme place. Paul can only glory in the cross. He boasts in it. For through it he had been saved from the penalty due to him as a sinner. To Paul, the cross was the revelation of God's love and grace and wisdom. And through it, he had been brought into living contact with the man who died for him. Paul declares that by the cross, the world is crucified to him and he to the world. It's a twofold crucifixion. The world is dead to him, and he to it. F.F. Bruce, in his expanded paraphrase, puts it thus: the cross forms a permanent barrier between the world and me, and between me and the world. The cross is the dividing line between the believer and the world. Now, our first speaker this morning is Boyd Nicholson Sr., J. Boyd Nicholson Sr. I understand he needs no introduction here. I've had the pleasure of knowing Boyd for many years. And Boyd is going to speak to us this morning on the centrality of the cross in the believer's life. Brother Boyd Nicholson.